Phil David, an alcoholic, and we've come through the first five concepts, and now we can go right on and finish up. Concept six, the conference recognized that the chief initiative and active responsibility in most world service matters should be exercised by the trustee committees of the conference, acting as the General Service Board. Now we're getting into the next few concepts. We're getting into now the reasons for a lot of the reasons of Bill's writing of the concepts, and to try to explain in a reasonable manner the functions of the General Service Board and also AAWS and the Grapevine. And this concept, along with allows rather the conference, the delegates, a very liberal administrative authority to the General Service Board, so that the trustees can act freely and effectively in the absence of the conference itself. You have to remember the conference only meets for 1 week, and then the 51 weeks out of the year, there's no conference there, except nowadays things can be accomplished a lot by the fax mail and conference calls and by the increased availability and the ability of electronics that we have in the world today. Next to the conference, AA's Board of Trustees should be the most influential group of world servants that we have, and therefore it has to be considered very, very carefully. The amount and degree of authority, responsibility, leadership, and legal status the trustees must possess in order to function in its effectiveness over the years to come. Now, by the creation and the formation and development of the General Service Conference, they severely altered the role of the trustees and the Alcoholic Foundation. Because prior to the conference, the trustees on the Alcoholic Foundation could do anything they wanted to. They originally chartered, the old Alcoholic Foundation was originally chartered to do anything in the field of alcoholism that it saw fit. It could throw drunks out of AA, could heal everything and everybody, bring anybody it wanted to in Alcoholics Anonymous. But in 1943, the Articles of Incorporation and bylaws were changed, and no longer could they do that, but they still were actually literally controlling everything that we had. And it was only through Bill and Bob that the drunks would have any say-so as far as where their monies were going or anything else. And that's one of the reasons that Bill used the Grapevine to circumvent the trustees. What he did, he was very adamant that the Grapevine be adopted under the umbrella of the Board of Trustees, because Bill used the Grapevine as his vehicle to write articles that didn't go along with the voting majority of the board. And so he'd get it out to the troops, and that's the way he did it. And many times the board would have to call Bill in and tell him, wait a minute here now, you're undermining us. And Bill would promise not to do that again, and then he'd go out and do what he wanted to do. They called him in many, many times. One time, particularly when niacin was coming out, and they asked him to absolutely forbid him to write letters using the General Service Office stationery. They told him to use WGW. That was Bill's three initials. And he'd promise them to do it. He'd leave. He'd write articles on the General Service Office. But that was Bill, and Bill could do it. But as a result, the conference severely changed around the functions and the legal response and also the responsibilities of the trustees. So now they had to sit down and write a whole new set of guidelines for them to function in effectiveness over the years to come. Now, you may ask, well, why should our trustees be given this wide latitude of judgment and action? Very simply, because us members of AA are holding them mainly responsible for all of our service activities. AA World Service, including AA Publishing, AA Grapevine, and these entities today have gross receipts in excess of $11, maybe $12 million annually. Now, that doesn't sound like much money, does it, in the world in which we live in? But you have to remember that ours is not a, ours still is a nickel and dime business when it comes to money. When it comes to money, still is a nickel and dime business. The AA World's, and also, more important, the AA World's public relations. The trustees are expected to lead in the formulation of AA policy, to see that it is properly executed. They are the active guardians of our 12 traditions, our 12 steps, our 12 concepts of world service. The trustees are AA's bankers. They're entirely responsible for the investment and use of our substantial reserve fund. Because, you see, since this particular tradition has been written, concept has been written, rather, there have been some changes in the makeup of the General Service Board, to where now we have 21 trustees, and the majority of the Board of Trustees are alcoholic. But basically, we have four classifications of trustees. We have the non-alcoholic trustee, which, if the board is full, is number 7. Then we have the regional trustees, which number 8. And then we have 4 trustees that are general service trustees. These are alcoholics. 4, that number's 12 alcoholics there. And then we have 2 trustees at large, 1 United States and 1 Canada. So you have 4 different classifications of trustees. The present makeup of the board will operate with 1 less Class A trustee until maybe the, not this conference, but the next conference, where 1 of the trustees, Class A trustees, resign. And it has to do with the trustee whose expertise was on correctional facilities. And so, from top to bottom, and our effectiveness, that is for our whole service structure, rather, it resembles nothing, and this is real simple. It resembles just like any business, just like Exxon, just like Mobil, just like any large corporation. The AA groups, which are what, the members, we own stock in the corporation. And then we send a delegate who is our representative to vote our stock at the annual stockholders meeting, which is nothing more than the General Service Conference. Our General Service Board are actually the directors of the holding company. Every corporation has a holding company of some sort. And this holding company, the General Service Board, actually owns and controls the subsidiaries which carry on the active world services. Or, in other words, if you have, let's say, Exxon, it has subsidiaries that it owns, like marketing. It has a subsidiary gasoline station. It has a subsidiary chemical plants. They own it. And it's the same way with the General Service Board. The General Service Board is a holding company. And I says, and they actually own and control AAWS, and the AW and the Grapevine. Now, they don't control the material that goes in there and voted by conference action. They control the operation. You see, the members of the General Service Board, since AAWS and the Grapevine, they're membership corporations. Actually, every member of AA, in the non-legal sense, are members of every corporation that we have, with the exception of the General Service Board. And so therefore, the membership is composed of the trustees. And the trustees, in turn, elect their directors for those two corporations. And it's not hard to understand. So basically, since it's a membership corporation, and so they own it and control the actual business operation for us. And so you say our trustees must be given large powers if they are to effectively manage the principal world affairs of Alcoholics Anonymous, because it is through the conference, and it's through the General Service Office, and it's through AAWS and the Grapevine, not so much the Grapevine, but AAWS, that our world services are projected all over the world. And while the trustees must always operate under the close observation and guidance and sometimes supervision and direction of the conference, it is nevertheless true that nobody but the trustees and their wholly owned service corporations could possibly pass judgment up and upon and to try to handle the very large number of transactions and businesses now involved in the total world service operation. They don't realize what goes on. That members of AA, you know, they don't realize that we've got problems with landlords, and we've got problems with groups. We've got problems with foreign countries that are reprinting our literature, and they're not paying us back, and we own it. The AAWS owns the inventory. We've got a lot of other problems as far as, and also of employment. We've got problems now today with the new insurance laws today where they have to write off. Thank God Alcoholics Anonymous is not going to have to do what others do because of a special dispensation that AA has had in 1943. AA has had a certain special dispensation since 1943 that no 501c3 tax-exempt fellowship has ever had or ever it'll ever get. This was a special one-shot deal because they had never heard of AA. They didn't know what to do with AA in 1943. The government didn't. Some of us individually, they still don't know what to do with it. And so, it's been given special. This is the reason that our accounting system in our General Service Office is the way it is. We've got members of AA who have since become very successful business people, certified public accountants and everything else, and they become delegates and they want to change it all up. Well, Internal Revenue says, you've been operating so well, why don't you just leave it alone? Why don't you leave it alone? And anyway, they would have to pass judgment on it to begin with. And so as a result, you know, it takes a lot of judgment because they have so many transactions that are now involved. A lot of things that can happen that they can take care of on the spot, and sometimes it's not. But the problem is it gets out into the fellowship and it gets into the ears and the mouths of the uninformed. And right there and then the message begins to get garbled. Of course, you know, our objective is always a spiritual one. But this service aim can be achieved only by means of an effective business operation. This is the reason that our trustees must function almost exactly like the directors of a large business corporation. For they must have ample authority and really manage and conduct AA's business and not fool around with it. Concept 7. The charters and bylaws of the General Service Board are legal instruments empowering the trustees to manage and to conduct world service affairs. You see, Concept 6 just explains the reasons to give it to it, and Concept 7 now gives it the muscle to do it by giving it the legal ramification. The conference charter is not a legal document. It doesn't need to be. It doesn't need to be a legal document. The reason for it is real simple. It's got the power of the purse. And that's far more effective than any legal stranglehold that you can put on it. And it relies upon tradition. And they're a purse for total effectiveness. You see, when you get to monkeying around with our steps and our traditions, the drunks will come up off the floor. And if they don't like what's happening, they'll put the money back down in the floor. And they won't come up with it. And concept 7. We now can see a board of trustees which is invested with complete legal powers over AA's funds and services. And yet we find that the AA General Service Conference, if clothed with such great traditional influence and financial power, that if necessary, it could overrule the legal rights of the Board of Trustees. It can therefore give the trustees directives and secure appliances with to make them comply practically exclusively. And that makes me sleep good at night, because this means that you have got the ultimate responsibility and the ultimate authority, and you've got their matching, and no one can override the other. They may try, but it has to come back to dead center. This means that the practical power of the conference will nearly always be superior to the legal power of the trustees. Our present conference charter is so structured to clearly give the conference a final and ultimate authority, but which nevertheless legally preserves the right of the trustees to function freely and adequately, because if it didn't, then the whole system would drop down. And the responsibility to see that all this has happened, believe it or not, it happens to be the responsibility of a conference committee called the Report and Charter. It is a baby that has to see that this is properly informed in the service manual. That's their responsibility. Up to now, our conference has shown us that this balance of power between the trustees and the conference is thoroughly workable. Even though our Board of Trustees do reserve a veto power over any conference action, and if this is legally necessary and right in principle, it will seldom be used, but at certain times, however, the trustees could, if they want to, and the issue could be veto, could be so important and constructive in use. Now, up to now, it hasn't been done. Now, the way this works, immediately as soon as the conference is over with, that Saturday afternoon, period, right after lunch, within 15 minutes, the entire General Service Board, all of its directors and staff, meet. They go over every conference advisory action. They don't go to stepping stones, and they don't run to their respective homes or anywhere else. They have to stay there. At that time, they go over the new trustees that are coming aboard, if any, the new directors that are coming aboard, if any. Any actions that the conference voted, to be sure that the language is correct, to be sure. Now, they don't take it right there and then. That's the reason why the entire conference, is taped. But the tapes are not for sale, and they won't go out. They're taped for only one reason, to check the accuracy of the advisory actions or any action or floor action. And then they go into a vault and they are there, period, for any use to be sure and check back to be sure that they are accurate. So in the years to come, if the conference will always bear in mind the actual rights, duties, and responsibilities and the legal status of the General Service Board, and if the trustees in turn in their deliberation will constantly realize that the conference is the real seat of ultimate service authority, and they may be sure that neither will be seriously tempted to make a rubber stamp out of each other, In this manner, grave issues can always be resolved and harmonious cooperation will be the general rule. Now, what the way it's done, if the Board of Trustees feels that it needs to legally veto a conference action or whatever the drunks want, right there and then they don't do it at that time. They just simply notify every member, voting member of the conference of the legal ramifications as a result of this advisory action and asking every voting member of the conference what is their pleasure. And usually that is not implemented until the legal ramification or the wording can be worked out and maybe come back up for approval or disapproval, if any, at the next General Service Conference. So that's how it's done. The board is very, very cognizant of the drunks. And I'll tell you, the General Service Board is very, very, very meticulous when it comes to doing what the conference suggests that the board do. They're very, 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 and you may not realize it, but you will if some of you are fortunate enough to be able to serve on that particular body. Concept 8, the trustees are the principal planners and administrators of the overall policy and finance. They have custodial oversight of the separately incorporated and constantly active services. Exercising these through their ability to elect all the directors of their entities. And this is one of the most difficult concepts to understand. Because, you see, if you're holding the General Service Board responsible for AAWS and for also the Grapevine to take its business, since they're a membership corporation, then the board has to reserve the right to elect the directors for both of those, that they know that or have the expertise to see that those things in publishing and in magazines and in et cetera, in the communication media of the world today, that they can do it. A lot of members of Alcoholics Anonymous don't like it. They want to elect the directors. But unfortunately, it's just like our conference has proven, and just like if you're a member of an AA group and you have seen it, and if it hadn't happened in your group, then you've got the most unusual AA group that there ever was, and please let us write it up as being 100% perfect. And that is how many times that, well, let's let those so-and-so, the GSR, it'll be good for them. Let's elect so-and-so Secretary of Treasury, it'll be good for them. Nobody ask them. Would it be a good secretary? Or how about being a GSR? You see? And so being in an area of which where the communication is now, they have changed the manner in which the directors are now elected. They have changed the manner in which the General Service Trustees are now brought to the board. Now, if there's anyone in this particular meeting today, if they have a vacancy on one of the trustees' committees, and that is as a non-conference voting member of the trustees' committee, let's say on public information or cooperation with the professional community or the correctional facilities or treatment facilities, not literature and not finance or anything of that nature, and if you feel you would like to be a member of that committee, and when it's available, your delegate will report it, or it'll come out in the conference agenda or right when they have a vacancy. And if so, you can submit your name. Period. It means that you would be a member of a trustees committee, but you will not be a voting member of the conference until you become either a director, or a trustee, or a delegate. Well, or paid staff. Also, now a director can be sent in for a possible election by the board from anywhere in the United States and Canada. Our General Service Conference comprises North America. That is all the AA groups in Canada and all the AA groups in the United States. They can certainly do that. They can send their names in. But you see, the election process is different. for each one of the class trustees. That is with the exception. And so the directors are actually elected by the General Service Board, and they in turn, when they elect a new one, it's brought before the conference for their disapproval, if any. And the regional trustees, I guess most of y'all are familiar about regional trustees. Your regional trustees, you're going to have a vacancy coming up, not a vacancy, but a rotation. And you have going to southeast region, of which this area is a region, southeast region, it will elect a regional trustee. For those of you who may not know, at the conference, all the delegates from the southeast region, they'll have caucus at a luncheon. That is for trustee at large now. Let's go it first. Trustee at large. And they will come up with one nominee to stand as a possible trustee at large USA, along with five others, because they're electing a trustee at large USA. And then the conference will vote for one of the six, or unless it goes into the hat. The regional trustees are elected another way. Each nominee from each voting area in the southeast region that presents a possible regional trustee, when it comes time to vote, all of the delegates from the southeast region vote, plus a corresponding number split between the trustees committee and also on the conference committee on trustees. And so that means that you've got 13 and 13 for 23. You can always tell who votes for who by the first ballot. And so this concept clearly indicates how the board delegates its executive functions to these entities. The board's attitude is that of custodial oversight and not executive. Thus, the trustees are the guarantees of good government of AA World Services Incorporated and the Grapevine. Now, they discharge their custodial obligations by electing the directors, as I said, a part of which must always be trustees. Even each corporate service entity should possess its own charter, its own bylaws, its own working capital, its own executives, its own employees, its own offices and equipment, and except to mediate problems of difficult situations, and to see that the service corporation operates within their budgets, and when the general service framework of AA and headquarters policy, and through the framework of AA headquarters and policy, the board really has seldom nothing more to do, because if it elects its directors, and also the general service trustee, it also elects directly the general service trustee, and they come up for conference approval, if any. The only trustees that are really actually elected directly by vote are the regional trustees and the trustee at large. The rest are already elected by the trustees nominating committee and presented then to the board for its approval, and the board okays it, and then to the conference for the disapproval, if any. Concept 9, good leadership at all levels is indispensable for our future functioning and safety. Primary World Service leadership, once exercised by the founders, must necessarily be assumed by the trustees. This particular concept is one of the finest writings about Alcoholics Anonymous that has ever been put in print. It is nothing more than a copy of an article that Bill published, that the Grapevine published in 1959 in the Grapevine. Also, it's complete. Writing is also found in the language of the heart. Now, the operating results of our structure can be no better than the personal performance of those who must man it and make it work. Good leadership cannot function well in a poorly designed structure, and a strong leader can never work in a weak structure. Leadership in Alcoholics Anonymous will always be a continuous problem. Good leadership can be here today, drunk tomorrow, gone tomorrow, dead tomorrow. So we must continuously find the right people of our many service responsibilities. This is the reason why those of us who have been in service for a little while, when the new ones come in, the one that looks like, man, they are hot to go, we encourage them. We pitch them in the tent, because that is where our future service leaders come from. Period. Where you're sitting now, look to the right, look to the left, look behind, look to the front. One of you may, in the few years, be one of our service leaders as a delegate, as a director, as an area committee member. Other than just fact DCM or GSR, just regular member of an AA group. The base of AA service structure predicates on the dedication and the ability, and here it comes. Our whole service base, the foundation of our base, rests squarely on the ability of the GSRs, the DCMs, the area committees, and the conference delegates. That is it. That is it there. So when electing GSRs, the group should have these facts well in mind, because the election process for the delegate and for the area committee and for DCMs all start with the GSRs. Everybody thinks that trustees are so important, or the delegate is so important, or their alternates are so important. No, the GSR. The GSR. An A leader in service is therefore a man or a woman. And as I'm going to repeat it again, a group should have those facts well in mind when they elect their GSRs. And AA today is as big as we run around and brag about it. There's no need to have to appoint a GSR. Unless your group has only got two members, or three, there's no reason to have to appoint one. A leader in AA service is therefore a man or woman who can personally put principles, plans, and policies into such dedicated, effective action that the rest of us want to back them up and to follow them and give them some help with their responsibility. Good leadership originates plans, policies, and ideas for the improvement of our fellowship and its services. Good leadership will also remember that a fine plan or idea can come from anybody, anywhere. One of the reasons that the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous has been so perfect is because they came from every place and everywhere. We did not invent the 12 steps. AA is synthetic. Everything that we have, our steps, our traditions, our concepts, we've borrowed, we've used, we've changed from some other source. Good leadership will often discard its own cherished plans for others that are better, and it will give credit to the source. Now, the following attributes are necessary for good leadership. There are tolerance, responsibility, flexibility, and vision exercised at all levels of AA service. Now, this comes about as a result of experience. It really is a... Some have some of these God-given attributes. This is true. But most comes of a result of dedication and discipline. Concept 10. Every service responsibility should be matched by an equal service authority, with the scope of such authority well defined. I remember one year at the General Service Conference, I was given that topic for a two-minute presentation. And I never will forget, when I got through, Dr. Jack Narr stood up and he said, "That boy's got it all backwards." What a tremendous humbling experience that was. The principle of ultimate authority and clear through our structure. This is necessary because all of our service affairs have to head up somewhere. And for final authority, ultimate authority is also needed so that each worker or each classification of servant knows where and who the final boss is. Therefore, ultimate authority has to be very carefully qualified by delegated authority. We often have to always be sure that there's always an abundance of final and ultimate authority to correct or to reorganize, but we must be equally sure that all of our trusted servants have a clearly defined and adequate authority to do their daily work and to discharge their clear responsibilities. If the GSRs will do theirs, if the DCMs will do theirs, if the area committee will do theirs, if the delegates and the General Service Conference would do theirs, if the trustees on the General Service Board would do theirs, if the directors on the two entities would do theirs, then you have equal responsibility and you have equal qualifications. However, unfortunately, we have too many GSRs that want to be DCMs. We have too many DCMs that want to be area committeemen. We want to have too many area officers that want to be delegates. And the worst of all, we've got too many delegates who are trying to be trustees instead of just being delegates. But if each does, then you have the matching authority and you have the matching responsibility, and they go hand in hand. You notice Bill talked about this way early in the concept. Way early. Here it comes to tradition two, where the group conscience is the ultimate authority and the trusted servants as the delegated authority. One cannot function without the other. Concept 11. The trustees should always have the best possible committees, corporate service directors, executive staffs, and consultants, composition, qualification, induction procedures, and rights and duties still will be matters of serious concern. A lot of times, unfortunately, in many of our service servants outside of the conference or board level, they become temporarily critical of the board's committees and the board's things. Well, I'll tell you, until one knows exactly what the reasons for the committees and their functions and the duties and the responsibility and the authority that each must possess and function in, then they don't know what they're talking about. So easy to criticize on the side until your feet get into the water, you know. And it's the same thing applies in a group. The same thing applies. Everything, as I said before, applies in a group. A lot of times they may criticize the secretary, or they may criticize the treasurer, this or that, not really knowing what the responsibility of any of those service positions are. The long range and overall success of our General Service Board will rest not only on the capabilities of the trustees themselves. It will depend just as much on the competent leadership and harmonious association of those non-trustee committee members, corporate service directors, executives, and staff members who must actively carry on AA's World Services. Their quality and their dedication, or the lack of it, will make or break our structure services. And so, if there is a flaw, all starting all the way from a group secretary to a group treasurer to a GSR and DCM, all the way through, if there is one thing that has a breakdown, and that is indoctrination. I firmly believe that we need stronger indoctrination sessions for GSRs. A GSR would be like, well, what do you do? Well, you just go to the meeting and listen, or get the service manual and read it. Well, a lot of them can't read to begin with, and they don't know what it is. And they need to be sat down and not make a workshop at a GSR workshop, but before they have the GSR meeting, to where former GSRs sit down with them. This is what you need to do. This is what you can expect. This is the duties of the GSR. There are very few GSRs, even though they got a little pamphlet for a GSR or for a DCM. You're not to be, you be the best GSR of your group. Don't try to be the GSR of 19 groups. You just be the best one. The indoctrination is lax in Alcoholics Anonymous. Because we say, well, as I said before, well, just go and you'll find out what it is. And you go and you're more confused than what you was when you went. And so, it is a responsibility of the former service servants that have rotated out to sit down with them and not wait until they're there to have it done, because this way, this allows it to function. Anytime you have a GSR, a district GSR meeting, and it turns out to be a workshop for GSR, you ain't doing what AA service structures tells you to do, and that is to carry the message and to see how you can best implement it. All this indoctrination needs to be done before you go, after you're elected. And as a result, this concept, the long range, I said, overall policy depends upon the trustees and their committee members. This concept simply allows the standing committees of the General Service Board, plus any two active service corporations, AWS and the Grapevine, to operate for the best interest of AA, since probably 9/10 of the direct headquarters efforts evolved around the activities of AAWS and the Grapevine. This concept is necessary to the effective functioning of these entities, as I explained in the previous concept. Paying decent wages and rotation among the paid staff workers further ensures the effectiveness of this concept, because they operate a business, and if they pay a decent salary that's commensurate with a job in other like type of a situation, if they don't do their work, they can fire, whether they be alcoholic or non-alcoholic. Over a period of years, and those of you who have been involved in service, and how many times have we heard, I'd like to work at the General Service Office. I think I could do a better job than what any of the paid secretaries doing it. Say, well, how long have you been sober? 9 months. Yeah, they don't realize the heat. That's a pressure cooker. Because whoever gets paid for a job in Alcoholics Anonymous works for the most demanding group of dictators that are sober that the world has seen. And you got to have, you got to, in AA, if you're going to develop the capacity to put it out, you have to develop the capacity to take it. Now, I know that some of y'all do read the service manual, and if you do, you read the bylaws of the General Service Board. And I said the standing committees, the bylaws of the General Service Board do not provide for any standing committees, but the chairman may create a committee to suit any need. And so that's how all the trustees' committees came about. The finance is the oldest one, and then the public information. And off the public information, believe it or not, has come everything that you can think of. The old professional relations community, that broke down now into the, then it broke down into the hospital and institution, then it broke down into the CPC treatment and the correctional facility. The literature committee came along. It's been with AA ever since the big book. And don't let anybody tell you that the big book is not conference approved because it was written before the conference was not. In the first advisory action in the first General Service Conference in 1951, the literature committee, they passed an advisory action that the big book and all of its literature at that time would be conference approved and retroactive. So it's just a matter of looking it up and reading it, you know. And as a result, this is a, that has to do with the effective functioning. Now, this brings us now to the magnificent payoff, concept 12. The conference shall observe the spirit of AA tradition, taking care that it never comes a seat of perilous wealth or power, that sufficient operating funds and reserve be its prudent financial principle, that it place none of its members in a position of unqualified authority over others, that it reach all important decisions by discussion, vote, and whenever possible by substantial unanimity, that its actions never be personal punitive nor an incitement to public controversy. Any amendment or a cancellation of any of its vital warranties would require the written consent of 3/4 of all the directory listed AA groups who would actually vote on any such proposals, and the considerable time of 6 months is allowed for careful deliberation. You notice it said that all the directory listed AA groups. If your group is not listed in the directory, find out the reason. This not only applies, incidentally, for the warranties, although we're on concept 12, it also applies, not changing a word, line, comma, period, add to, delete from the 12 steps or the 12 traditions, or the concepts of world service. Now you may understand why when it says on anonymity and it's read at many, many AA conventions and forums and everything else about anonymity on press, radio, films, and TV. The two letters TV have not been added to the 11th tradition, period, because nobody's voted on it. And the same thing, and I'm going to repeat that, the warranties of the conference, yeah, that to change any of its vital warranties, that is on the conference charter or cancel any of them, require the written consent of 3/4 of all the directory listed AA groups who would actually vote on any and such proposals, and the considerable time of 6 months is allowed for careful deliberation. Doesn't mean it can't be changed, but have you been to one of your AA business meetings lately? It is possible that we AAs possess more and greater freedom than any fellowship in the world today. We know that we have to personally choose conformity to AA's 12 steps and AA's 12 traditions, or else face dissolution and death, both as individuals and as groups. Freedom unto God to grow in His likeness and His image will ever be, and I'll add always be, the quest of Alcoholics Anonymous. May our General Service Conference be always seen as the chief symbol of this cherished liberty. To a member of AA, to a member and we of AA believe that our freedom to serve is truly the freedom by which we live, the freedom in which we have our very, very being. I want to thank this group for allowing this member of AA to be here and to share this member of Alcoholics Anonymous' experience and the concept and AA's experience and concept. And we have a very, very few short minutes. And if there's anyone that would like to ask a question, we'll see if we can answer it. And if I can't answer it, well, Gay will or Bo will. Or anybody else that wants to volunteer. Does anyone have a question? I realize that sometimes when we do this, if it's done in the manner the next thing I'm going to ask you, and it doesn't have to do for ego, do you like the simple approach that this alcoholic uses in explaining the concepts? And if you do, you always remember that break them down to suit your own self. It can work on the group level, particularly in the relationship with the responsibility, all the way from coffee brewers on up, you know. Yeah, all the way from coffee brewers on up. Okay. Can you come up and let me hear it? So we want to get it on tape. I thought I saw it, but I didn't recognize it under that umbrella you're wearing for a hat. Yeah, Carol.
What really bothers me is I belong to a club, Triangle Club, and we rent space from the Triangle Club, Alcoholics Anonymous. They run several meetings a day. And isn't it when you have a club, don't they have to put a certain amount of money back into the club to make it really, what we say, kosher as far as hoarding the money and not replenishing the situation? Are you following me when you go, do we have anything, is AA alive with any, with this clubhouse at all? Like I was down in Texas one time, and the clubhouse was really lovely. And I said to him, my son, it's so beautiful. Half was Al-Anon, half was AA. And he said, what we do is we keep replenishing and fixing up the clubhouse. You know, if it has a lot of wear and tear. Do we get involved with this, David?
First of all, the question is, do we get involved? To narrow it down, do we get involved in AA clubhouses and I assume incorporated AA clubhouses? All right, and the first thing is there is no such thing as an AA clubhouse. You ain't got, but you got the AA member, AA recovery program, and Alcoholics Anonymous. There's no such thing as an AA clubhouse, even though members of AA conveniently call it a club, and although members of AA stay there, visit there, also AA groups rent there. Now, an AA group that rents there, the money goes for its rent, and it goes, and then the clubhouse is a separate entity altogether, and so it can take the money and do whatever it wants to with it, because it's not Alcoholics Anonymous. You just pay rent just like you pay at a church, or you pay at an auditorium, or you pay anything else. Now, a lot of times there's a fine line between an incorporated AA, quote, club and the AA groups that meet there. Yeah. And so there is a real fine article on how our traditions developed, Carol, in our pamphlet, and it has to do with clubhouses, and it has to do who pays for them, it has to do who meets there, and they also have guidelines. So the answer is yes. There is AA Alcoholics Anonymous does have cooperation but not affiliation experience for groups who meet in club-type facilities. Yeah. Yeah, certainly does. But if it does, like you said now, if it meets there and it's an incorporated club, it can take that money, it can do whatever it wants to. I'm glad you asked that, because for the simple reason, what the question was, when the basket is passed and they meet in a clubhouse facility and pay the rent, that the basket should not be turned over to the club. It should be turned over, and I'll add it, to the treasurer, who counts it deposited in the group treasury and then pays the rent out of the group treasury. And this way it allows a group to buy its own literature and to store its own literature and its big books and everything else. And then this way, because if you send a check into the AAWS from, let's say, Little Rabbit Australia AA Club, and you want to buy 100 big books, the check will come back. The check will come back. But if it's Little Rabbit Australia AA group, they will keep the check. Then you have to wait a while to get the book sometime. Yeah, Gay. Yeah. Gay said about interest that makes money in AA groups. Well, when you look at it, members of AA are not entitled to interest to begin with. But a lot of groups, what they'll do, they'll put their money in. I'm going to share my own experience in my own group. We use the birthday plan. And we have about 2,000 members. And we'll send anywhere between $2,500 and $4,000 or $5,000 every year to the General Service Office. And we send it in the month of November, usually, or close to December, Gratitude Month. Now, we use that money. That money is put in by those members who celebrate their AA birthday for one or more years of continuous sobriety, up to $10. They put a dollar in. Actually, some put in a few more than that. The $10 limit was taken off a few years ago. And so, as a result, at the end of the year, we do that. Now, we empty out everything but the interest. The interest stays there to keep the account open. But we don't send any of the interest money. Period. Now, a lot of groups, what they do is they'll open up a interest-bearing checking account or an interest-bearing savings account. And also, some have certified deposits or CDs that are drawing interest. Well, here is the fragility of this. The first thing, that if they draw interest, then that interest, regardless of how much it is, has to be the bank or the savings association, whoever, whatever financial institution is paying the interest, must notify the federal government. And so, therefore, to open up that kind of an account, you have to have a tax identification number. The only way that it can be done to not to get into that kind of a even involvement is you open up a non-interest-bearing account, checking account, or savings account, as far as that goes. And then the IRS or the government is notified that XYZ group over here was paid so many dollars interest on its account with the account number. Well, if it's a small amount, they usually not too many problems. However, when you start multiplying the thousands of AA groups who are doing similar things, and then you add that interest money, then the IRS gets real interested on all this so-called money that should be paid in taxes or not. So the ruling is this, up to now, that as long as it is, they are notified. Now you have to remember, since an A group is a spiritual entity, it cannot get a tax number unless it's incorporated as a not-for-profit tax exempt. So where does the tax number come from? An individual member. And so that individual member will be notified of that. And they'll have to make arrangements with the proper authorities of how they're going to include that in their income. Prudent reserve money is fine. You have certain guidelines on your prudent reserve money. If it's a spiritual entity, you've got a problem there. Because here's the thing. If it's an incorporated entity, then you can have bylaws. And you can like the the prudent reserve for the general service board, our reserve fund, is when the previous year's combined operating expenses, the reserve fund meets it, then everything up and above that comes back to the fellowship in the form of reduced cost of services, which means the reduced cost in the price of our literature. However, in the state of Texas, I happen to be a member of the Northeast Texas area, and we are incorporated, and we are taxed for exempt, not-for-profit tax exempt. And the and our limitation on the prudent reserve is $25,000. Anything up and above that, we have to split it out. And they, it's okay. Yeah, yeah. But usually for a spiritual entity, whatever you want to call a prudent reserve. Now, you know good and well an AA group need not have 10 years prudent reserve money in the bank. You know it and I know it. What, 2, 3, 4 months? That's enough. Oh, New York? New York? Oh, you're thinking about New York? Well, that's the reserve fund. The reserve fund, I happen to be chairman of the conference finance committee at the time that that was presented to the conference and approved. And that is when our reserve fund, when the prudent reserve, when our reserve fund reaches the same amount of the combined previous year's operating expenses of all of the entities, everything and above that comes back to the fellowship in the form of reduced cost of services, which means a drop in the price of our literature. Now, chances of that happening in the next few years is not too good because expenses keep rising. You see what I mean? The target, that's the target. They are in the process now of maybe wanting to change the guidelines for the prudent reserve. Now, whether the trustees finance and budgetary committee and whether the conference finance and budgetary committee can get together on this year and maybe present it next year. But AA will not have any problems as far as that is concerned. The big problem, the concern today at Alcoholics Anonymous is a tremendous drop in group and individual contributions and also the tremendous drop in the volume and money volume of our literature and books. When the royalty ceases, which will be in a few years, that money will revert back. You won't have to pay it out. Plus the fact that they are saving $250,000 a year in rent, but where they moved from, and to its present headquarters. But still then, it's going to be touch and go. The reserve fund at the present time, Gay, at the end of this year, after they withdrew, $1 million and some odd dollars for capital improvement and capital funds as a result of the move and several other things. It's now down under $7 million. The ideal would be roughly, 11 to 12. It's down under 7 at the present time. Now, these are figures that I saw last week. they're not audited, but they're pretty close to being audited. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A group can reserve fund, but I like, let's talk about the group, whatever you think it is, you know. Like the 60-30, 50-40, 10 plan. Whatever you think 50 is, send it in. Yeah. Be about an A group, 2-3-4 months. That makes sense. Not 2-3-4 years. Yeah. Okay. Well, I knew we'd get around to money before it'd be over. How close before we get around to sex? How's that? Well, I want to thank you very, very much, and God bless each and every. You've been so patient to have this many people show up for a concept workshop and stay. This is tremendous. Thank you very, very much, and I love each and every one of you.